Traditional revenue sources for public media and really the media at large are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
As Putin heads for certain re-election, it's time to talk about sanctions again. Good morning and thanks for tuning in to the Marketplace Morning Report. We're coming to you live from the BBC World Service and I'm Leanna Byrne. Polls are opening today for Russia's presidential election. The sitting president, Vladimir Putin, is the only serious candidate and he's certain to win. And right now, people in the far east of the country are casting their ballots.
I always vote, because it's the responsibility of a citizen, because the future depends on us.
I'd like to see changes, for things to be different in the country. That's why I made the choice that I made.
So let's take this opportunity to look at Russia's economy. The country has faced thousands of sanctions since it invaded Ukraine. The International Monetary Fund, the IMF, has more than doubled its economic growth estimate. So how has it kept the economy going? Robin Brooks is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution, a think tank based in Washington, D.C. Hi, Robin. How are you doing?
I'm really happy to be with you.
Well, Robin, at this point, we know that its economy hasn't been cut off from the rest of the world. But how is that the case?
So first of all, it is the case that direct exports from many Western countries to Russia have fallen very significantly. So it's not true that Western measures are totally ineffective, but Western companies, especially from European countries like Germany or Poland, Czech Republic, the Baltics, are really, really busy shipping a ton of goods to Russia via Central Asia and the Caucasus. And when you aggregate that up, so from all Western countries to all countries in the Caucasus and in Central Asia, that offsets about 25% up to 30% of the drop in direct exports of Western stuff to Russia. So it's big, and it's something that the West should clamp down on.
Are there third parties facilitating this? Are there other countries that are facilitating the exports?
Russia probably is setting up shell companies in a lot of these places, and those shell companies are probably getting their hands on Western goods and then intermediating them to Russia. But the biggest third country in all of this is China. China has become Russia's biggest trading partner. Its exports to Russia have grown massively, and it is really the biggest enabler of Putin's war in Ukraine because, as you know, Russia is shifting its economy to a war economy. It means that all kinds of production of civilian goods is stopping. So it has a huge import need, and China is filling that import need. So I think the biggest issue here is, can the West get its act together? If we imposed a speed limit in a town and the police doesn't enforce the speed limit, you and I wouldn't be having a discussion about whether speed limits work or not. We'd just be having a discussion about whether police are doing their job. That's what's happening here with sanctions. We have done the right thing in principle. We have a G7 oil price cap that cuts the revenues that Russia gets for its oil. We have export restrictions, but we're not enforcing them. And so the whole debate on whether sanctions don't work is totally misleading.
Mm-hmm. It seems to me that maybe people don't realize this, but it seems like most countries in the world are probably in some way still trading with Russia. Do you think that's something that is happening and that people don't really realize?
So it's a really important point. So trade in goods is super disintermediated, right? Goods go on rail, they go on trucks, they go on planes. It is impossible to completely supervise and curtail that trade. So the way to counter Russia economically is to hit it at its source. If it exports energy, we should curtail the amount of money that it gets for those energy exports. That's where the G7 oil price cap comes in. Europe plays a special role in that because European oil tankers, Greek-owned, transport a lot of that oil. And unfortunately, Greek ship owners have played a very negative role in the enforcement of the G7 oil price cap.
Robin Brooks, Senior Fellow at the Brookings Institution in Washington, thank you so much for joining us on Marketplace.
Thanks for having me.
Now let's do the numbers. A lot of Asian stock markets aren't having a great Friday. Hong Kong's Hang Seng closed down 1.4%, and it's essentially a bad reaction to weak Chinese property data and higher US inflation figures. Now, some McDonald's restaurants around the world, like in the UK, Australia, New Zealand, Japan and Canada, haven't been able to serve food because of an IT outage, and many stores have been forced to close and suspend their online ordering. If you've had your fill of Irishness on this programme, too bad, because let's get a bit of this. On Sunday, 500,000 people are expected to line the streets of Ireland's capital, Dublin, to watch the St. Patrick's Day parade, and 28% of them will be overseas visitors. So how important is this for the Irish economy? I asked Richard Tierney, chief executive of the St. Patrick's Festival, how the event has grown so big.
I think for the last 20 years, it has definitely evolved. I mean, there's 500,000 people come and visit it. This year, when I took over, there's about 2,800 participants and performers. This year, there's going to be over 4,000. So the parade has become so big because the demand for it and the demand for global representation increases every year. So we have this year 15 marching bands. 13 of them will come from the US. Each one of those has up to 200-300 participants and performers. It just gets bigger every year.
Just give us maybe the numbers about how important the festival is to Ireland's economy.
In terms of the festival itself, current numbers are it has an economic contribution of about 110 million over that 4 or 5 days, and it returns about 27, 28 million to the exchequer. There's nothing in Ireland that comes anywhere close to that. It brings 500,000 people onto the streets. 500,000 people watch it domestically in telly. Millions watch it all over the world. You look at it financially, it's really, really, really important. But in terms of the brand Ireland, it's gigantic because it's sending that message around the world that, you know, Ireland is a must visit.
Now, Richard, I know you took over 2 years ago, but there was no festival in 2020 and 2021. Yeah. That was a big blow for tourism, right? I mean, do you feel that pressure to make up for those lost years?
No, I think we have recovered well. Ireland is open for business, and we're going to have between 105 and 110,000 international visitors, predominantly American, this year. So I think we're back to where we were.
What are your plans? What are your expansion plans even for the future?
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily say expansion. I think probably what I would say is stability, is to make the festival more stable in terms of financially. I'd love as well, marching band-wise, to do more with that. And so, yeah, loads of plans.
Well, Richard Tierney, CEO of St. Patrick's Day Festival, thank you so much for joining us in Marketplace.
My pleasure.
And that's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Happy St. Patrick's Day on Sunday, or Lá Féile Pádraic in Irish. As you can guess by my accent, I'll be celebrating. I'm Leanna Byrne. Have a great day. Thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.